The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory is. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
When I was a little girl, my family had a clothesline in our backyard. Four lines of rope ran between two T-shaped poles, and every week, my mom would carry the laundry up the basement stairs and out the back door to hang the wash out to dry. It provided endless hours of entertainment for me as a little kid, and equal amounts of exercise for my mom. I'd watch the whites billow in the wind, and bury my head in the damp sheets. Sometimes my mom would bring out old blankets to create a tent in which to play. It was, by the way, the closest thing my family ever got to camping. For my mom, every article of clothing or bedding meant reaching twice, once to attach the left side and then to attach the right. Large items, of course, required multiple points of contact. A bag of clothespins was always close at hand to secure the laundry on the line. One clothespin on the right left side and another on the right. It was perfectly acceptable to tuck two items of laundry under one pin, but with the exception of socks, every item needed a clothespin on the left and one on the right. Can you imagine if a pair of jeans was dried with one clothespin? Those stiff, crusty jeans would be so misshapen. Or if a long bathrobe hung on and drug on the ground and got dirty, two pins were needed. There was something rather public about hanging one's laundry out to dry. Everybody who passed by could see all the articles of clothing a family would wear, so unmentionables were hung in the inner lines and larger items on the outside, with the thickest, heaviest items benefiting from maximum airflow. My mom was not sad when we got an automatic clothes dryer. The weekly rhythm of doing the wash became much more efficient when it was no longer including trips to the backyard with baskets full of laundry. I, too, am grateful for a clothes dryer in my basement. I'm not looking with nostalgia at a time past as better days, but at lifting up the image of hanging clothes on a line as being universal, familiar, and very human. We engage in life and things get messy, so we take off our clothes and swirl them in soap and water, then hang them on a line or a tree to dry, soon ready to be worn again and again. It happens over and over in all parts of the world. Today's reading from Matthew is a familiar, well-loved reading. We call it the Great Commandment. A lawyer asks Jesus a question, and he responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." It's such an important teaching that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include it in their Gospels. But each one tells it in a slightly different way, with a variation that helps them emphasize what they want their audience to hear. We're probably most familiar with the story from Luke. The lawyer asks Jesus a question about the most important commandment, and he gives the famous answer. And then the lawyer asks, "But who is my neighbor?" Like a good journalist who asks who, what, when, where, how, and why. The lawyer wants to know how this all works. So Jesus tells a story about a man who is robbed and beaten and left on the side of the road for dead until a stranger shows compassion, stops to help him, takes him to an inn, pays the bills, and promises to return, proving to be a neighbor. It's a great story, one that stirs the imagination and inspires us to love, one that reveals that being in relationship is what it means to be a neighbor. But Matthew tells this story with a different slant, one that reminds me of hanging clothes on the line, with one clothespin here and another clothespin there. Jesus is a great teacher. He speaks with authority. He tells stories and he attracts a crowd, but not everyone is happy. He confounds the leaders. So one day, leaders come to him with questions designed to trick him. So often in life, there are more than one ways of looking at things. So if they can get him to declare something definitively, maybe they can trap him in his own words. Three groups come to Jesus and ask a question. Is it legal to pay taxes to Caesar? What if a man dies without any children, and so his brother marries the wife, to have children for that man, but he dies without children, and so it continues seven times? Well, then who will be the woman's husband in the resurrection? And then finally, this third question. Which commandment is the greatest? There are 631 of them in all over time, and all of them are considered to be just as important as the other. So any answer would be wrong and would trap him, but Jesus won't be boxed in by a simplistic answer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, he says. That's the first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the prophets and the law. What a funny way to put it. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Like an article of clothing hanging on a line, love the Lord your God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything derives from these two. Love God, love your neighbor. There's a complementary and interdependent relationship between loving God and the neighbor. We don't begin by loving God and then as a second task, love our neighbor. They're inextricably connected. To love God is to love our neighbor and vice versa. Jesus has already been talking to the disciples about the centrality of love in their lives, even loving their enemies. And he'll go on to tell a parable about what love looks like. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. In the story, the people are surprised and they ask, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And the answer is, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. Love God, love people. It sounds like loving God is patterned after God's own love. Hesed is what it's called in Hebrew, steadfast love. It's loyal love, faithfulness, and mercy. It's the kind of love that keeps promises, establishes justice, and defends the vulnerable. It's love that sacrifices on behalf of another. We are going through a time of change as a congregation, as you know. In addition to all the disruptions and modifications of living through a pandemic and the social turmoil of racial reckoning, not to mention the shifting role of the church as a voice at the center of the culture, to now moving closer and closer to being a voice from the edge of the culture. We as a congregation are in a liminal season as we're in transition between senior leaders. Change is afoot. Sometimes we cling to what's familiar without remembering why we do what we do. You've maybe heard the story about the family who enjoyed ham for Christmas every year. When it was time to bake the ham, the family cook cut off the ends of the ham, just as his or her mom did years ago. An observant child asks, "Why did you cut off the ends of the ham?" And the parent replies, "Because that's what grandma does. And when grandma makes the ham, it's always delicious." So when grandma comes to Christmas dinner, the child asks, "Grandma, why do you cut off the ends of the ham?" And the grandma replies, "Well, because that's what my mother did." So when the family stops by to wish great-grandma a Merry Christmas, the curious child asks, "Why did you always cut the ends of the ham off before baking it?" And the great-grandma replies, "Because I never had a pan big enough to hold an entire ham." Sometimes we lose sight of why we do what we do. Sometimes we forget the big picture and we hang on to what we think belongs to us, our rights, our opinions, our property or possessions, our way of doing things. But the thing on which everything else hangs is this: love God and love your neighbor. It's what we're made for. It's where we find our center. We don't do it perfectly, of course. Like a load of wash hanging on the line, our shortcomings are visible to God and anyone else who pays attention. But like a load of laundry hanging in the sun, we're given another day to do what we're meant to do. And as we lean into the work of loving God and loving neighbor, we get changed. God transforms us to be more like Christ. Earlier this summer, a couple months ago, my daughter and son-in-law bought a house. And surprisingly enough, the backyard still sports a clothesline, or at least the two T-poles that would hold a clothesline. It hasn't held laundry in quite a while, I suspect, but the poles are set in cement deep in the ground. It's a sturdy, reliable reminder of the rhythm of hanging clothes on a line. With a clothespin on the left and another on the right, we love God and we love our neighbor. They're inextricably connected. It's how we're made. It's what we're made for. So may God help and guide us as we see the face of our neighbor today. Amen.